Well, welcome back to our final hour of Saturday night. Full moon open lines now as we get into Saturday morning, actually, and we'll do that. By the way, just so you know, in Russian language, the boogeyman is not necessarily a man. In this particular case, it's an old woman, okay? But it's boogeyman. Nobody has a word boogie woman. So they call it boogeyman, but I want the Russian slang for that, the Russian verb wording for that. And then I'll give out some books. So we'll see who I pick. I got to pick the person to guess. Well, it sounds like it'll be a good book. Sounds like it would be a great movie, too. I love those things about Lucifer. Okay, let's go to the phones. Open lines. We shall go to the Donald in Kent, Ohio. There he is. Wasn't there when we needed him, but he's there now. Hi, Don.
Oh, thank you, Brother George and Tommy also, and happy Sabbath out there. You know, I wanted to relate a story about an event that I had happened to me in Vietnam, but I wanted to have a little compassion toward the young girl that was complaining about the mark of the beast, you know, the blind girl.
Yeah,
honey, you never have to worry about the mark of the beast, because in Revelation 7:3 it says, if you have the seal of God in your forehead, you can't be harmed by the mark of the beast. So don't worry about the mark. It's actually, it has to do with worship, if you look at the third angel's message of Revelation 7. But getting back to my story.
Okay.
Back in 69, I was stationed in a place called Zion. It's actually spelled capital D, small I, capital A, small N in Vietnam. This is about 12 miles north of Saigon. I was on a tower on a perimeter protecting the base camp. We had what's called a Crusher starlight scope. This is first generation starlight scope. They're kind of primitive, but it amplifies the light from the stars, from any kind of background, even decayed vegetation will put out a glow. And about 300 to 400 meters outside of the base camp, everything was rome plowed, so we had a field of fire net. I saw this huge bird come out of the jungle line. George, this thing had to have the wingspan of a Cessna.
Why? That's a thunderbird.
And what it was is that it had a very lumbering beat. You know, it's not like a sparrow that would beat probably, you know, like 100, you know, beats, you know,
right,
per minute or so. It's very low, you know, like it was carrying a huge load or something, but I couldn't make out the body or anything other than, and I was just absolutely shocked at seeing this creature from this distance.
And now, you couldn't tell if it was feathered or not, right?
No, you know, actually it was years later. I picked up a book, it was called like Fur, Feather, and Friends, something like that, and they did have a picture of some type of an entity. It appeared to be like a woman, a very hideous type woman, all, you know, like black, leathery skin with leathered wings, and they say this creature happens to, you know, inhabit the forests, the jungles, and that in Vietnam. And I was just kind of shocked by seeing him. I just wondered if that's what I, you know, saw. I just, you know, couldn't really explain it. You know, it wasn't frightening. It was just very odd, very weird, very out of place. And, you know, years later, reading about a photographer that was working for the Air Force, he was told he had to photograph the crash of a B-52 in Vietnam. And so he thought, well, okay, you know, so they take him to a jungle, George, and in the middle of the jungle is this completely intact B-52.
Huh.
And inside the B-52, all the crew members were had cattle mutilation, you know, tongues missing, cheeks gone, things of that nature.
Jeez.
But then outside of the B-52 were about three or four Viet Cong bodies that all had their necks snapped, and the theory was that some type of a Bigfoot type of a creature did this to them. So a lot of bizarre stories going out of Vietnam.
It sure is. Lots of UFO cases in Vietnam during the war. Many incredible cases, indeed. Let's go next to Buck in Limestone, West Virginia. Hello, Buck.
Hey, George. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing. How are things?
I'm calling really at your request. I've got a snow report here.
Okay, great. Just going to ask you that. Go ahead.
Well, this is from Limestone, Almost Heaven, West Virginia, and we've got about 18 inches on the ground, and it's still coming down like like all get out.
Oh, jeez.
I think they're projecting another foot by tomorrow evening.
That's going to cause roofs to cave in, for crying out loud. That's a lot of weight.
It definitely could, but here's the good news. The good news is we've got all our provisions here, but most importantly, I'm a coast-to-coast insider, so I've got 5 years of shows to listen to.
You got it, and your power's still on, obviously.
That's right. That's exactly
that's
right.
The important
we just take
thing.
Turns picking topics.
You got it. Okay, Buck, thanks. Appreciate it. Another text, and we'll have one more next half hour. Go ahead, Tom. What do you have?
George, this is from Kristen in Wisconsin. My neighbor keeps bugging me to go with him to the Whaley house. I'm afraid of getting cursed or worse if I go. Am I worrying for nothing? It's the house down in San Diego?
Yeah, it's haunted. And are you worried for nothing? I think it's always good to have an air of caution. You just never know. But I'd go.
I'd go too.
Yeah.
I would not go.
I'd go and have some fun there. And, just be respectful of where you go. You know, don't go in there and make fun. There was a guy, we talked about the Lent Mansion with the haunted housewives. And I've got to tell you that this is what's so bizarre. There was a guy at the Lent Mansion, and they were having, you can eat there. It's like a dinner place, too, even though it's haunted, and, you know, three members of the Lent family committed suicide there. He was making fun and ridiculing the ghosts while they were sitting down having dinner. He's like, there are no ghosts, and, you know, the heck with all of this bull and all that stuff. He had his hands underneath the table. He pulled his hands out, and they were caked, both hands, with butter.
Wow.
I mean, I'm talking about a half an inch on each hand of butter slapped onto his hands, and he couldn't believe it. I mean, he looked under the table to see if there was butter underneath the table, you know where people like stick their gum.
Sure.
And nothing. It was weird. It was like the ghosts did this to say, oh, you don't believe in us?
Uh-huh.
Look at that.
Did you feel something when we went to the penitentiary in Philly?
No, I didn't. But what I enjoyed there more than anything was looking at Al Capone's cell.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
That was weird. Just to feel as if he was in there. You know, that was different.
I've been to Mansfield Reformatorium, and the feeling is unbelievable in that jail.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Okay, thanks. Next up, let's go to Andy in St. Louis. Welcome to the program. Andy, you're up with us.
Hello.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. I'm at work. I'm making money.
Excellent.
Right. What would you prefer? I have a spooky story for you. I have all kinds of Russian terminology and all kinds of boogeymen. Whatever, you pick it. And I have a couple scientific theories that explain a lot of the phenomena that we deem to be unexplainable.
So you're going to give me a choice. Give me your spooky story.
Okay, I have a couple spooky stories. First happened when I was very little, something between like 10 or 12 years of age. I used to visit my auntie. She was a teacher in a small Russian village. So she gave me a room to stay in, and in the evening I go to my room, I'm trying to go to bed, got everything ready, got blanket ready, so I slip under the blanket, and I notice in the corner of the room, the best way I can describe it, it looked like a three-eyed dog or something very dark was looking at me. But what I noticed was three eyes were looking at me. And why I thought it was the eyes, they were like three glowing things, and they looked like that because they were like slowly blinking, kind of like a dog when a dog looks at you and blinks.
Right.
That's what it looked like to me, but the weird part of it had three eyes, no two. Right? So I quickly pulled the blanket over my head because I was a little boy. And then I remembered what my cousin and my dad told me, what my mom told me, like, you're a boy, you're going to grow up and you're going to be a man, you know, so you should act alike, right? So I'm like, I threw away all my fears and the blanket. I got up and I went looking for the thing. By the time I reached the corner, there was nothing in the corner. Turned the light on. There was nothing in the room, nothing in the house. I checked the TV, like there might be some street light was reflecting. There was no street light. There was no moon outside.
Nothing. Wow.
So in the middle of the night, it was around 2 in the morning in a completely dark rural Russian town, I went outside and I went into the barn. Barn had no light. I went looking for the thing, really. I was really fighting my fears and I did not find anything. But strange thing happened, like many years later, I came to the United States and I heard a Mexican guy telling me very similar story about something that could have been a dog, something that had three green glowing eyes and something that was looking at him from the corner of whatever building he was at. And it was a story about the same kind of very similar story. He was also a little boy at the moment when he saw the thing.
That's a great story. Yeah, I've got to ask. I'm not going to let you guess on my trivia question because you're Russian. But
yes, I know.
If you're in St. Louis, Owen, I go to St. Louis a lot. You've got to know my Russian friend, Anatoly. Do you know him?
Anatoly, there's a number of Anatolys here. My dad is Anatoly.
Now, this would be the Russian construction owner.
Russian construction owner. My dad has bought and sold several houses, and he refurbished them. So it could have been my dad that you know. It could be one of his friends.
Do you have a brother?
I do not have a brother.
No. Okay, then I don't think it's your father. Well, but there can't be that many Anatolys out there.
No, there's not that many Russian people in Finland. But there is actually a good number. I just don't know all of them.
Do you know Dennis? Mick?
Dennis, I know couple of the Knicks, but, you know.
I'll be out there in March again. We should all get together.
Oh, you want to hear a story from St. Louis, spooky story from St. Louis?
Okay, real quick one.
Okay, my dad bought a house several years ago. It was an old house. He refurbished it. So, not long after that, we set up some mouse and rat traps in there. And so I can assure you that there was no mouse and rats in that house. That was one of my theories. What was making the sound? So he goes upstairs. I go downstairs. I fall asleep on the couch. He also, 2 days before that, he bought a guitar. It was an old guitar that he has refurbished, rebuilt this guitar. So he put it on top of the coffee table. So I fall asleep about 1:30 in the morning. I hear the sounds of the strings, right? I get up, I turn on the lights, I look around the house, I look around the room, I find nothing. No mouse, no windows open, nothing. Turn off the lights, go back to sleep around 2:30 in the morning, same thing happens. I hear the sounds of the strings. I turn on the lights again, look all over the house, go into the basement. I find nothing. So that's it. That's a story. I tell my dad in the morning, hey, your guitar was playing.
All by itself.
He was like, really? I'm like, it must have been some kind
Andy,
of
Andy, circle your calendar for Saturday, June 18th, because I've got a live event at Lindenwood College.
Lindenwood College?
Up there in St. Charles, June 18th. Make sure you come on out for that live event.
June 18?
Yeah.
June 18, Lindenwood College.
Lindenwood College in St. Charles. Tell all your friends. Just circle that date. I'll talk more about it.
Absolutely will. I'll tell all my friends.
Okay, Andy. See ya.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Yep. St. Louis. Let's go. We've got some time for a few more before the break, and then we'll come back with more open line calls. We go next to Adam in Rhode Island. Hello, Adam. Are you getting any snow up there?
Hey, George, how's it going?
Good. Are you getting any dusting up there in snow? Supposed to be a few inches up that way.
Nothing. Yeah, I just checked the radar.
Good.
It was creeping up to the Connecticut-Rhode Island line.
Boy,
the same for us, about 7 to 11 inches.
Wow. So let me ask you the trivia question first, and then we'll go into what you called for, okay?
All right.
Russian word for boogeyman. What is it?
Russian word for boogeyman is Baba Yaga.
You win. I'm going to get your address when you're done and get you some books, okay?
Nice.
And Tom just put the address on my desk. I'll send them out myself. Okay, right. So well, good for you. Congrats. I can get rid of these books. Good. So what's up, Adam?
No, I've been busy all night, so Brecken, I only caught the show about the last 45 minutes, and I heard you talking about the question, but I got a funny UFO story for you.
And by the way, how did you know that?
I've heard it in the past. Well, I work third shift, so you get me through a lot of nights at work. So heard it, I'm going to say, in the past years on your show. Also, I listened to Clyde Lewis' show before
your
show.
Clyde's a good guy.
And I also watch Ancient Aliens and the Monsters, Myths, and Legends. So
you've heard it somewhere.
It's funny how it happened to come up.
Okay. So what do you got?
I got a UFO story for you.
All righty, go ahead.
I work in a public safety department, so it's about 3 years ago. A guy we work with called over the radio, goes, "Where are you?" "I'm downtown." "Goes, well, look up to the east. Do you see it?" "So no." Calls a bunch of us down to the location. You can hear the fear in his voice. So as he saw a UFO driving around, happened to be a group of kids lighting up those Japanese lanterns. So, we still don't let them live that down.
Well, I got to tell you, they happen everywhere. But I want more than just lights in the sky. I want landings. I want abductions. I want people being taken away. Let's go to Kevin in Illinois, east of the Rockies. Welcome to the program, Kevin.
Good morning, George. I appreciate you taking my call.
That's okay. Thank you.
The other night, you had that guy that was from Canada, that author.
Yeah.
And he was talking about that individual who encountered a 30-foot-tall praying mantis.
It was a monster. Yeah. That was huge.
Well, George, that you know, the ones that I encountered were 12 to 15 feet tall.
That's still pretty big.
Yes. Well, you know, that helps to validate my story a little bit because it's only half the size. But trust me, when you're standing there looking at it face to face, it's still pretty scary.
It sure is, especially that praying mantis look. They're cute when they're little bugs, but not 12 feet tall.
Exactly. And when you had Linda Moulton Howe on, and I called up, I asked her if she had talked to anybody that encountered eggshell white ones. And that's also validation, because she said that there was people who told stories about that, too. So, anyway, the point was that I just wanted to call up and let you know that, you know, I kind of believe that guy saying 30-foot-tall praying mantis.
Well, it was a tall story, that's for sure. By the way, Linda's going to be our special guest on Thursday of next week with some incredible, incredible stories. Let's get a little business out of the way here before the break, and then we're going to come back with more open lines. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. That is huge. Follow us on Twitter because we send out all kinds of information there. We still send out little pics on our Digicam and Instagram as well. And follow us along with ParanormalDate.com. Download the free apps for that in your respective app store. And then lastly, if you're not a Coast Insider yet, sign up for that. That's 15 cents a day. It's a price we have held for 13 years, and it's not going up. Not as long as I'm here, and I'll be here for at least another 13 years. Back in a moment. Okay, welcome back to our last segment of Open Lines here on Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie, and let's go to the phones. Cornelius in Louisiana is with us. Hello there, Cornelius.
Hey, George and Tommy and all the
Coast. You never know if I'm going to call you Corny, Cornelius.
Yeah, I tell you, you really get me going there, George. I was talking to Tommy a minute ago. Y'all know I'm trying to get my presidential pardon.
That's right.
And I got some good news I wanted to tell the coach. So I thank y'all for praying and keep me on the prayer list. But I got some bad news. The same week of my birthday on January the 5th, I got some good news saying that they were taking my case and maybe I'll get a pardon. Then the next, about 2 weeks ago or a week ago, I read in the USA Today where the pardon attorney that was looking at my case is resigning because there's 10,000 cases.
Oh, no.
You can't take them all. And what I want the Coast to Coast, I don't have an email account. I don't have any of that. I'm not on a computer. I'd like for them to go to that whitehouse.gov and see if they can give me 100,000 petitions so they'll look at my case. So, I just wanted to have prayer and stuff like that because I believe in God and stuff.
Well, but you're, you know, with the pardon, I mean, are they following you or anything? You're a free man now, right?
Okay, yeah. See, I was a correctional officer at Oakdale. And
right.
What happened was the warden said I threatened to kill him and stuff, and so they sent me to prison.
You had a little temper there, maybe.
No, I wouldn't have. They took something that I wrote the wrong way. And I eventually pled guilty. And the judge sends me to time served, and I got probation. So
God.
I've been through the ringer, but I'm a good guy. But the way I wrote it, I can understand where they mistook it.
They mistook it. Man, but you look at some of the stuff that people write on the Internet. Wow, they should all be in jail if that's the case.
But, George, with Dan Bonagini, the Secret Service came to interview me. And remember, I told you about that story, and they thought I threatened the president. But once they came down here and told, oh, you're no threat to the president or nothing. You're a good guy. So I salute the Secret Service, but the FBI, I don't think too much of the FBI. But the Secret Service, at least they – see, that's the one thing the FBI never – they never did talk to me. They just immediately arrested me and said, well, you threatened to kill the warden, and you're going to jail.
Jeez.
So that's life.
Be careful what you're putting in writing, huh?
Well, yeah.
That's the secret. Hey, thanks, Cornelius. Tim's in Kentucky. Hey, Tim, you're up with us.
Hey, George. I tell you what, I've been a listener since 95 back in the Arpel.
Way back. Thank you.
Calling since then, and I'm finally on. I'm an insider and paranormal date. And in fact, y'all brought me together with one of the most bestest friends I've ever had.
Oh, that's super.
She's listening right now, so if you don't mind, I'd love to say hi to Firebird.
If we end up doing this reality TV show, make sure we find you, okay?
Not a problem. Anyway, I was calling because you had asked earlier about scary stories.
Yeah.
And one time I was, back when I was in the Army, I was out on Fort Hood and we were doing maneuvers, and I was the lucky one with the radio watch that particular night. And so I'm sitting there doing my little hour-long shift, and, you know, they've got the farmers there, or the ranchers there, they let the cattle range on the land and eat the grass. Well, one of them came up into our area of operation, and, he had his mule with him. And so I was kind of talking to him because I was bored and there wasn't much else going on. And he didn't speak any English from the... My Spanish is really bad, and I thought, well, great, I can practice that. That'll help me stay awake.
Smart. I would do the same thing.
Well, so we were sitting there talking for a while, and then it got to the end of my shift, and I had to wake the next guy up. And, of course, the farmer's not supposed to be there, so I was like, hey, man, you got to go. And he wouldn't leave. And finally, I was like, man, no, you've got to get it. I've got to get the next guy up. So I reach over to grab hold of him. And
Undelay or something, whatever that word is.
Into a bush. Him and his mule. They just turned into a tree. I mean, it was like, you know how South Texas is with the trees, and he just turned into a tree.
He turned into a tree?
That tree wasn't there when we set up, because when we set up in the area. So
And he was gone. He was gone, and the tree was there.
It was just, he just turned into a tree. I was like, oh, my gosh. I got the next guy up, because it was his time, but... And he was talking about
how strange.
Why did we put our camp right here with this tree in the middle? I mean, I tell you what.
Did the tree ever move?
No. I mean, it was just a little shrub, like it had just, I don't know, grown overnight or something. I mean, it was just, it stood about five, six feet. Just weird.
That is strange. Wow. Tommy, he turned into a tree.
I wonder what kind of tree. So we...
Weeping Willow.
Weeping Willow. We have something from Terry in Fort Worth, Texas.
Fix that chair.
How about if I just don't move?
All right.
Terry in Fort Worth, Texas. Hi, George. I would like to know what presidential candidate besides Hillary you think would be most likely to make disclosure a priority if elected.
I'm not even sure Hillary would. Steve Bassett I don't think any candidate would.
I don't either.
They don't. I don't. You know, Steve was really upset that nobody from NBC asked Hillary in the most recent debate about it. And I still contend that we may seem that we're getting closer. I'm not sure it's going
to
happen.
I have to ask you something, and I guess nobody's made a big deal of this, but what I read from Hillary is she said, yeah, we have to find out about Area 51 in New Mexico. That's wrong.
Well, that's
nobody made
not,
a big deal about that, that
there.
She did that.
Yeah, I know. She just made a mistake.
To me, it's bigger than just a mistake.
Yeah. Okay, thanks. Let's go to the calls. We'll go to Canada on the international line. Chris is with us. Hey, Chris, go ahead.
Hey. Okay, I was just calling in. First off, those books sounded pretty interesting if you were going to do any more quiz things.
Yeah, we'll be doing that throughout the year. I don't like throwing them out, and I'd rather you folks get the books, you know?
Okay, yeah, I was really interested in that guest you had on the other night, Matthew Poley, I think it was.
Yeah.
He had a real interesting story.
They're all good people, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. But concerning things to say on the air tonight, I thought I should mention that it could be a possibility with Trump in the running that he is the ringer because Jeb Bush can't exactly get the foothold in to be that representative, and that whole school of thought where some people think that Hillary and Jeb Bush were pre-selected.
I think they might have. They might have been, but not anymore. It's changing.
Yeah. And then with, now, with Trump in the running, him, you know, saying all sorts of very contentious things, you know, maybe he's the ringer where he'll take the intentional fall so that Hillary will win.
I think he wants to win. I mean, I think he's in it to win. He's going to do everything he can to win. We'll see what happens, though. Does he have the staying power to win? That's the question. We'll find out. He's ahead of Ted Cruz, and if he gets the delegates, he's got that shot. I still think it's going to be a brokered convention, but we'll find out. Next up, we go to Niagara Falls, New York. Larry is with us, east of the Rockies. Any snow out that way, Larry?
Yeah, well, no, I'm in New Jersey visiting. We're getting Niagara Falls weather in New Jersey.
Okay.
In New Jersey. I have a very scary story. I was a medical photographer in a large medical center, and we were doing laser ablation of ventricular tachycardia. That's what the surgeon you're doing, which is laser surgery of the heart. Well, I had to get a good shot. The lights were out, so I stood on a stool and put my left arm up and held on to the rod that holds the blood and the plasma.
Okay. Is this open heart surgery?
Yes.
Okay.
And the heart is wide open. What happened was the stool and the rod started spinning with me on it.
Oh, no.
I started spinning like a top with a camera in my hand.
Oh, no.
Well, I had to make a decision. I had to jump off this thing because the stool was unscrewing. I would have landed on a patient. I would have gone to prison.
Oh,
would have killed the
he would have been dead.
Dead, and the surgeons would have been injured because I was way up high. So I saw light and dark, and I figured, go to the dark because the light is where the surgeon's lights were. And I flew off the stool and landed on the floor. Well, everybody looked around because the room shook, and they said, what the heck's going on? So I kind of like regained my composure, and I got out of it. I would have been in big trouble. And that was one thing. And also, I want to give you a story about a B-17 that landed in England during World War II.
Yeah, tell me.
With no, everybody bailed out. Two engines are out. This airplane landed in England with nobody in it. It was empty.
Whoa.
Landed on the airfield, not on the runway.
Nobody in there.
Nobody in the airplane at all.
Where'd everybody go? Did they bail out?
They bailed out. It was a B-17G, I think. It was two engines on fire, but the smoking B-17 landed near the runway.
They didn't have autopilot in those days, did they? Not like that.
Well, the B-17 had they put their belts around the wheel and they tied it up so they could bail out. So the
plane would stabilize at least.
Absolutely. Now, listen, you got books to give away. Look, give me two questions. aircraft. You're in a two questions. Give me two. I don't have to.
Maybe just one. Hold on. Hold on. What kind of plane? What kind of plane was the Memphis Belle?
Oh, it's a B-17G, and it was the first airplane to complete all its missions.
You're right. All right, I'll give you some books.
Oh, I love you.
I'll put you on hold. Let's get your address. Tommy, get Larry's address, if you would. Let's go to Patrick in New York now. Welcome to the program. Patrick, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you so much. I wanted to talk about, you were speaking to a gentleman a few hours ago now about the search for extraterrestrial intelligence and civilizations.
Yep.
And I want to submit that the reason why we really haven't found anything is because they're out there, they're transmitting, but they have found their Stephen Hawking. And
uh-huh.
They followed their Stephen Hawking's advice. And what they are doing is encrypting their transmissions, just as we do, so that what we are hearing is what they want us to hear, the background noise of the universe, that hiss at 11 megahertz. And it's like a AM modulated carrier wave.
You are on to something, my friend. Okay, it'll be Richard Serrett for you on Saturday, George Knapp on Sunday, live 7 nights a week, and I'll be back Monday. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borelson, George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.